All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to start our class. Let me start with prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins, and lead us into life everlasting. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, there was a question. We'll start out with this. Oh, thank you. This is Guatemalan. Yeah, it was roasted yesterday, so it's fresh roasted. It was a little novelty that I got from a present for myself. Okay. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now, the question is why is this, was from Kathy, why this gospel on the first Sunday of Advent? It sounds like Lent, doesn't it? Because it's we hear the same gospel on when? What day of the church year? Yeah, on Palm Sunday in the Palm procession, right? When we begin, that's how we begin the service, is with that same gospel reading. So there's a question as to why do we have Palm Sunday on the first Sunday of Advent? And the lesson will get us to that. So let's just dig in. You can see, if you haven't been with us before, at the top there's some terms. Those are good terms to look at. Bethphage is the village on the Mount of Olives. Mount of Olives is a mountain on the east side of the Temple of Jerusalem. And like I told you from Zechariah, that's where the Jews thought the Messiah would come from. Matthew's a little kind of curious because he has a colt and a foal. So he has two animals, right? A young male donkey and then another young donkey. Whether two animals or one. Some of the artwork has Jesus riding on the donkey, on the colt, I should say, and he's holding the leash to a foal who's following after him. I'm trying to figure that out. Luke, on the other hand, just has one animal. Zion, that's Jerusalem, the mountain where the temple was, and Hosanna, which means Lord, save us. We sing that every week, right? We sang it with the song. It's in the Sanctus. So the Sanctus, that hymn, in the middle of our communion liturgy, we both sing with the angels, because we say with angels and archangels and with the whole host of heaven. So we sing with angels and archangels by saying, no, that's with the whole host of heaven. Well, that's true. It's with angels too, but the whole host of heaven. Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth, or Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. That's Isaiah chapter 6. So in our liturgy, we sing with the people on Palm Sunday as Christ comes into the holy city to redeem them. Why would we sing that each Sunday? What is Christ doing for us in the liturgy? He's coming to us, to be with us, to visit us, and to bless us, to redeem us, right? And so we greet him as the King and as God. Holy, 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 and Hosanna, Hosanna, in the highest. All right. Yeah. Figuratively, quote unquote, yes. Yeah. Whether you receive or understand that actually or spiritually, that's another question. We'll talk about that. All right. Typo. Well, whatever. Violet. You notice the sheet has purple on it, and this gets to Kathy's question, the color. Only recently in Lutheran churches have there been blue through Advent. Any of you remember when it was purple during Advent? You do? Yeah, it was. The color of blue was promoted in the Roman Catholic Church in the 60s. And then because we use the same supply houses, we get our same stuff. Blue was the new Advent color, and so we kind of latched onto it. Blue does predate the 1960s, both in Spain and in England. And so the blue in particular during Advent is called Saurum, which is, I guess, a Spanish thing. Anyway, but violet is the old color, which is the same color as the season of Lent. Yeah. Today is the first Sunday of the church year. The season of Advent begins the church year. Advent, advenire, means arrival or coming. In Advent, we think about the arrival or coming of Jesus. And you can number these comings in different ways. This lesson gives us four. He came when he was born, so the season of Advent's right before Christmas. He had a coming into Jerusalem. That's the gospel for today. We also look forward to Jesus' second coming. You'll hear that in the weeks coming up. And finally, we think about how Jesus comes to us today, that is, through the sacrament and through the word, I should say. So there's a new color. It may be violet or blue. Why violet? Violet is a very special color in Jesus' day because the kings wore violet. It was an expensive dye that came from the Mediterranean shellfish known as the murex. Did you know that? So you have to get that particular shellfish to get the dye for purple. Very rare color and expensive. What'd you say? Purple. Yeah, royalty, kings. Yes, rich people wore purple. Very, very good. Very good, Gary. The church is decked out in violet because Jesus is king. We heard that today with the reading. Not just any king, he is the King of Kings. When the King of Kings comes, his people prepare for his coming. Preparing for the King's coming is what Advent is all about. So we have kind of a lot of things happening today. We have the beginning of the church year. We have the beginning of Advent. We also have kind of this proclamation of the King coming to us in various ways. So all those things happening in our heads at once. All right, little exercise. Children, please turn to page 2. Follow along in your lesson. Okay, you can color once we get through your lesson here. Other lesson, Elsie.
You have the one for little children. Are you a little child? Are there more lessons back there, Ethan?
I have one.
Give one to Elsie. All right, let's look at this. This day celebrates the coming of the Holy Spirit. What day is that, Luke? What day do we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit? Say it loudly. Nope. Holy Spirit. Gabriel. Ah, I'm asking the children. Silly woman. No, he said Christmas. Pentecost. Very good. So write that in there. Pentecost. Very good. This season, really, celebrates Jesus' victory over death and the grave. What season celebrates Jesus' victory over death and the grave?
Easter?
What do you think? Everybody agree? Yes. Okay. Easter. Very good. This season is 12 days long. Children? Okay. I guess you're still a child, Ethan. Big child. Christmas, good. What's next? This is the longest season of the year. Its color is green. What's that called, Elsie? The long season, all summer. You've got your choices there on the sheet. You don't have to guess. Which one of those? Trinity. Very good. Season of Trinity, after the Sunday of Trinity. This season is 40 days long, just before Easter. Gabriel? Which one? Can I put you down? Before Easter. Easter. Look at your choices. Okay, he's just guessing. Lent. Lent. Okay, season is after Christmas. It means manifest or revealing. Which one's that? You got two more to choose from. Anybody? Epiphany. Very good. And this season means arrival or coming. Now you know that one. Advent. Okay. So here's getting to Kathy's question. The season of Advent is like the season of Lent. Both seasons are quote-unquote penitential seasons. All right. Now this may be new to you because you thought Christmas is about Advent is about getting ready for Christmas. There's a way that that's true. Penitential means sorrow for sins. What are some changes in the church service during Advent? What are some of the customs we do during Advent that remind us that we're in a penitential season? What do you think about that? What's that? Yeah, omitting the Gloria. Very good. We have midweek services that are unique, right? That's an old tradition. Now, we have them all year round now, but, you know, historically, we would gather an extra service during Advent and Lent, both, right? Right? It's usually a time of catechesis or devotion, special prayer, certainly confession of sins. Maybe you didn't know this, but people, at least in ancient days, so say 200 years and earlier, not in the last 150, 200 years, for the most part, they would fast like you do during Lent, you know, give up something for Lent. You do the same in Advent. Okay? These are all good ways to prepare both body, but also with extra devotion to pray, to prepare your mind for the festival of Christmas, or in the case of Lent, for Easter. All right. There are two Christmas seasons nowadays. I think I talked about that. There is the way the world has Christmas, and there's the way the church has Christmas. All right. In the chart below, discuss and write down what the church does different or does in Christmas that is different from the way the world does Christmas. All right. When does it start? It's already filled in there. Advertising starts in October. Is that even true? When do people start Christmas stuff? When do you see it up in stores? Yeah, as soon as the Halloween stuff's away, right? So that's the end of October. The Halloween stuff's on discount the day before Halloween. No, yeah, candy and all that. Yeah, they put it up in summer if they could. We can go to Bronner's Christmas Wonderland in Frankenmuth, all right? And it's Christmas all year round. All right. Church Christmas starts on the 24th after sunset. Okay. How about what do they do? What do you do in the world's Christmas? There's a lot of things, right? What's that? Go get your picture taken with Santa? Yeah, that's right. Oh, wait for Santa? I'm sorry. What else? Oh, like what? Sing carols? Well, that's not necessarily that thing. Get presents? Presents aren't a bad thing. How do we start day after Thanksgiving? Were you all there? Did you get up early? I know Ethel did. You were up at what, 3 in the morning and standing in line at Walmart?
Right.
No. Yeah, party and shop. Parties and shopping. Don't get me wrong, the partying is all fine as long as it's, you know, about Jesus. It's for Jesus, right? But I think we should remember how to exercise a little restraint. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of done with Christmas on the 26th, which is kind of, you know, because it's December 26th, yeah, the Feast of St. Stephen. You know, because it's kind of fatiguing. You go through all of that Christmas stuff leading up to Christmas, and then it's already over, and it just began in the church. So there's kind of two different calendars happening at the same time. Church is Christmas. That is 24th after sunset. I mentioned a few of those in church today. There's four services given in our materials, although very few of our congregations do that. And then the 26th, St. Stephen, 27th, St. John, 28th, Holy Innocents. The season continues, and throughout there's readings appointed for the rest of the days. And then Epiphany is the transition between Christmas and Epiphany. So 12 days, 12 solid days. All right. The King is coming. Here's our text. Isn't that that's a wonderful image, Christ entering. There's only one animal there, though. Who are the miniature people down in the right-hand corner? Do you see them? Are they children? And there's palm branches, and they're up in the mountains. What's going on up on the hill? Do you see that up in the top left-hand corner?
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Bathroom?
Nope. It's a good idea, though. What is? It's Jesus up there again. What's he doing? Uh-uh. Yeah, kind of. Yeah, who's he raising from the dead right there? Lazarus. So you see, they sometimes medieval artwork especially, they do this. They'll have multiple images in the same frame, compressing time. Compressing time. So when did he heal Lazarus? Relative to Palm Sunday. No, it's the week before. Yeah, the week before. All right, the Jews in Jesus' day were waiting for the Messiah. The Messiah would be a king like King David. King David was a great king who reigned over the people of Israel 900 years before Jesus was born. You know this? The people loved him. After David died, his son Solomon became king. When Solomon died, Israel split into two kingdoms, the northern named Israel and the southern named Judah. King David's descendants ruled in Judah. After 200 years, the Assyrians conquered the northern kingdom, Israel. Then in 586 BC, the Babylonians conquered Judah, the southern kingdom. Okay, so both north and south are conquered by 586. The Jews were no longer free. Prophets like Isaiah and Ezekiel promised that the Lord would raise up another king like David. This king would be the quote-unquote son of David. He would be anointed king. He would rule forever. This was the Messiah. The Jews believed that the Messiah would come from the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. Then he would enter the temple and begin his reign. They also believed that he would ride a donkey just like King David did when he entered Jerusalem. 2 Samuel 16. Remember what else is going on this week? That's the one I couldn't remember. During the Passover. It's also Passover week. The Jews sang psalms about the Messiah. They sang the Hallel Psalms. That's 113 to 118 in our Bibles. And these psalms are the words, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Hallel, meaning from which we get what? Hallelujah. That's right. This is why the Jews sang these words when Jesus entered Jerusalem. He was not like an earthly king. His crown was of thorns. His throne was the cross. He rules over sin, death, and the devil. He rules for us. So they would have already been singing these psalms to prepare for Passover, the night of Passover on Thursday. But they attached them then to Jesus as the coming Messiah right here. Above, we saw how Jesus has many comings. He came when he was born. He came into Jerusalem. He comes today in the sacrament, and he will come again in the second coming. To understand how Jesus comes today, read the following Bible verses and answer the questions. All right. Somebody want to read Matthew 1 for me? Who's got a Bible there in front of them? Gabriel, get to work. Matthew 18, Gabriel. You do the Matthew 18. Betty, you've got Matthew 1? Okay, you're getting it? How about at the back table? Ethan's got Matthew 26. All right, Betty, when you get to it, read it for us. Can I put you down? You're stinky. Matthew 1:23.
Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Okay. So what was the name given to Jesus? Emmanuel. You got that, Elsie? Luke? Emmanuel. And what does it mean? What did Matthew say his name means? Yeah, God with us. The Hebrew word for God is El, right? So Emmanuel. You hear the L at the end. How does that help us understand how God comes? He comes to be with us, right? Not just to judge us and whatnot. Okay, according to Matthew 28:20, is Jesus still with us today? That's 28:20. Does it say 26? Oh, sorry, Gabriel, not 18:20, 28:20. Who was looking up the next one? Yeah, but it's Matthew 20. It's a typo.
No, there's Matthew 18 and then there's Matthew 26.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Question number two, bottom of page three. Which one is it? Is it?
18.
Yeah, it's Matthew 18. It's a typo there. Matthew 18, verse 20. Is Jesus still with us today? Mm-hmm. Right. And Matthew 28:20 actually works too. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. All right, so is Jesus still with us? Yes. How has he promised to be with us? What did you read, Gabriel? Yeah, where two or three are gathered in his name, right? So how do we begin our service when we gather? We say, oh, in the name of Barack Obama or something? I don't know. In the name of Beyonce? No, it's in the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? Or in the name of Jesus? Let's begin the sermons. So Jesus is with us where we are in his word with his name. All right, there's Matthew 18:20. Jesus is with us as we meet in his name. I guess it just left one verse off above. 28:20, I had that for you. I am with you always to the end of the age. In Matthew 28, he tells you precisely how he is with you always. If you just go back two verses, what does he say to the disciples? 28:18. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations by baptizing and teaching them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. That's how he's with you, by baptizing, preaching, teaching. That's what he's promised. That's what he said. Told his disciples. Okay. All right. And what's the last question? Here's my sheet. Read Matthew 26 to 28. Where else is Jesus with us today?
Go. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, and took blessing, broke it, and gave it to his disciples.
No, no, no.
And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying,
"Put you down.
Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins."
All right. So where else is Jesus with us today? Yeah, in the sacrament, his body and blood. Where his body and blood is, there he is, right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. It's all obvious stuff, maybe, to you. This is good. Jesus comes to us today just as he came to the people in today's gospel. This is why we sing the same words that the people in the gospel sang. We sing, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest." We sing that, they sing that. Hosanna means, "Lord, save us." We pray that Jesus will save us from sin, death, and devil. We pray Hosanna, and Jesus hears our prayer. Jesus saves us by dying for us. He gives us his body and blood to eat, or his body to eat, his blood to drink, as a testament to his salvation. That's why we sing Hosanna just before Holy Communion. We are just like the Jews who sang Hosanna to Jesus when he first came to Jerusalem. All right. Any questions so far? Any comments? I don't want this to be a lecture, so, you know, if you have stuff going on, you have a question, go ahead and ask. Just interrupt me, raise your hand, yell at me, whatever it takes. All right, so now you can see the whole church here kind of laid out here in a diagram. I think this is helpful for you. Because there's what we call a festival half, and then there's the non-festival half. Well, which is the non-festival half? It's pretty obvious there. It's green, right? The Sundays after Trinity. How is the color of Lent slightly different than the color of Advent in the picture? Yeah, they do sometimes have a little bit different colors. Sometimes Lent is more reddish for the blood of Jesus, and Advent, still purple, but more of a bluish purple, leading us towards the royalty. So you could distinguish between the two purple seasons that way in color. All right. What is the longest season of the church year? Yeah, Trinity. Three. Why is the red the color for the day of Pentecost? Baby, you're okay. Why is red the color for Pentecost?
Fire.
Yeah, fire. And also, what else? Probably blood too, right?
Like martyrdom.
martyrdom. It's okay. Just let her be. She wants to sit on the chair. Yeah, I think you're right. Four, why? What does the color green mean in the church here? Why green, do you think? Think of the actual season. Yeah, growth, right? Green. Things are alive. So we go from Pentecost, which is usually in spring, through the summer months. We don't get Advent until fall, winter, right? So the green growing season of the church here is the green growing season for you. The readings during Trinity are not the readings of Jesus' birth, the major events of Jesus' life, his, and then the work of Holy Week. But you hear throughout the summer months, you hear what we might just call the instruction of the Lord, the teachings, right? So you'll hear things like the Sermon on the Mount, portions of that, or you'll hear some of the healing miracles or the feeding miracles come in the summer. Yeah, the servant Jesus. The Jesus doing the normal Jesus stuff, for lack of a better way of saying it. You know, it's kind of we call it ordinary time sometimes, or the ordinary season. The ordinary Jesus thing, healing, preaching, teaching, taking care of the sick, those in need. All right, you don't see big spectacular stuff happening so much in the summer months. So, you know, when do people stop coming to church? Well, they got to travel, you got vacations and things. But summer months, because, you know, it's not all that spectacular or extraordinary. Of course, it really is. We just think that way. All right. Green. Growing. And so it's a growing time for you, too. Growing in your faith and life. Why might Easter and Christmas have the colors of white or gold? Okay. More holy? What do you think?
Key parts of the church here.
Yeah. I think white, you're thinking of maybe like Revelation, right? They washed their robes and made them white in the blood of Lamb, so holiness.
Pure.
Purity. Gold is royalty, right? Royal metal. So you've got gold. Victory and purity, I think probably, maybe are your two themes there. So some of our congregations will distinguish between them. We just have white. We use the same white. Our white set is very interesting. I don't know if you've noticed this. It has the scepter, or I think it's called a scepter. It's a ball with a cross on the top.
Yeah.
Is that a scepter?
No, a
scepter is a staff, right?
I don't know what that ball is called.
What is the ball with the cross on the top?
I think it is a scepter.
Maybe it is the scepter.
They're kind of like maces. It's a ball.
Okay, well, that's what it is. The scepter, which is the victory, but they also have the Ten Commandments on them, which it's not generally what we're not generally preaching the Ten Commandments specifically on Christmas and Easter, you know. But there they are. So Christ is the answer to the Ten Commandments. I think is probably what was going on there, the thought process. Do all churches use the same colors? Well, today we used blue. Some use violet. Some churches. You ever wonder about the pink candle? Yeah. That's a reflection of the congregations that also have rose, not pink. Men don't wear pink, do they? They used to. Pink used to be the masculine color. Did you know this? And blue was the female color?
Yeah.
Before World War II. And then something switched. And pink became girl and blue became boy. Did you know this?
I did.
I think it's all before most of our time, sorry, older folks. I don't know what exactly switched it. I've tried to do some research, don't know. But anyway, the third Sunday in Advent and the, I believe, fourth Sunday in Lent are times of refreshment. Sunday, even in Lent, it's called the Sunday of refreshment, Letare. Rejoice, so Gaudete and Letare, both meaning rejoice. There's two Sundays where you get a little bit of a break from your penitential, pious fasting, you know, giving up stuff for Lent. And you get a little refreshment, a mid-season break, you know, like a halftime show for those seasons. Is that a good analogy? Analogies fall apart. So that's why we have a pink candle, and there would be a rose candle. There'd be a rose sundae to match. There could be pyramids. I don't own any of the stuff to do rose, so we don't do rose. And same with Lent. So you can have that Sunday where everything goes rose just for one Sunday. So some of our churches do that. Then what's the next one? 7. Which seasons are fixed and which seasons are floating? All right. So Advent, is that a fixed season? Meaning, yeah, it's always, because Christmas is always on the 25th, right? So then Advent's counted back from Christmas, and that's always fixed to the calendar. How about Epiphany? It does and it doesn't. You're really good. The Ultra Guild. Thank you, Betty. You have to pay attention to these things, right? The beginning of Epiphany is fixed because it's January 6th. How long Epiphany goes changes. Because what major holiday does change date every year? Easter. Okay, so you see Easter is this break right here, and that floats plus or minus over a month. This year Easter is on, I think it's towards the beginning of April this year. I want to say April 6th or 7th. If you have a hymnal, there's a schedule in the front. Why does Easter move? Sometimes we get this question. Go ahead, say it again.
It's based on the lunar calendar. It's like the first Sunday following after the equinox.
After the equinox. Okay. Now, why? Why would Easter be based on a lunar calendar? Based off the phases of the moon? That may be a little tricky. Say that again?
That's a good question.
Okay. April 20th this year. Oh, no, not next year. April 5th. April 5th. 2015. It's on April 5th this year. So a little bit earlier. So our Epiphany season will only probably be 4 weeks. No, it won't even be that. I think it's 3 weeks. Lunar calendar. Because the Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar. And what event in the Jewish calendar coincides with Easter? On the night he was betrayed. Yeah, Passover. The Feast of the Passover. So, which would have been Holy Saturday for us. So, in the Western Church, the Western half of the Church, so Jerusalem and West, and that includes us, we chose to celebrate or commemorate Easter in its date that would reconcile with Passover. Okay, in the Western Church, Easter is celebrated at the same time as the Passover is celebrated. But in the Eastern Church, meaning like Constantinople, you know, all your Siberian, no, you don't have Siberian friends, all the Orthodox, so Serbian Orthodox, Estonian Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, they celebrate Easter with a fixed date. It's not based on the lunar calendar. And some would say this is why the East and the West, they split back in 1054, I think it is. 1054. So the two halves of the church have been split that long. It really came down to it was a big political thing. But the dating of Easter, they still don't line up. So they celebrate Easter differently than we do. Different timetable. But for us, since Easter moves, then everything is backdated from Easter. So if Easter is April 5th, then Palm Sunday is February 26th, something like that. No, March 28th. Right, and then the fifth Sunday is the week before. We keep going backward. Then you have the 3 weeks called the Gesima Sundays, which are the between Epiphany and Lent. They're not in the picture. Then Epiphany, the Sundays of Epiphany expand and compress depending on how many weeks we need to make it to Easter on time. Okay, a little confusing, I suppose. Those Sundays of Epiphany that we skip, the third, the fourth, the fifth, whatever ones we skip, those same readings come up at the end of the church year. So that's because the end of the church year, that's the other season, right? Pentecost is dated from Easter. How many days after Easter? Pentecost? Ascension is 40 days after Easter. Oh, very good. Penta is 5, so yeah, 50 days after Easter. 50 days after Easter is Pentecost. So that's a fixed date, but it's based off the floating date of Easter. So really, Pentecost floats too. So how many of you were confirmed on Pentecost? Ethel, when were you confirmed? Palm Sunday? Yeah, Palm Sunday is kind of common. It's really... You don't remember. You should go look it up. It's hard for confirmation to be based upon Palm Sunday because some years you get a month more or a month less. So you don't have as much time to teach. Right? So that's why tradition, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with it, but it does make it a little challenging on the one teaching the youth to say, oh, we're going to be done by then. You know, you have to compress or expand. So how many Sundays after Trinity are there? Because Trinity is based off of Pentecost. It's the week after Pentecost. There can be as many as 27. Sometimes there's more, sometimes there's less. This year we had 23 Sundays after. Next year, because Easter is earlier by 3 weeks almost, 2 weeks at least, we'll at least get two more weeks of Trinity. It'll be 25 weeks or 26 weeks, depending on how the schedule falls. So it's interesting. So the fixed number of days, which seasons are those? Lent, correct. Because Lent begins with Ash Wednesday, which is always 40 days before Easter. Yeah, that's good. Easter, Sundays after Easter, that's pretty close to fixed, right? I guess it has to be fixed. Pentecost is always 50 days after Easter. So there you go, that's fixed. How many? Christmas? Always 12 days, 25th to January 6th. Advent, Christmas floats. So the days in Advent change. Like this year, Christmas is on Thursday, right?
Yes.
25th? Yeah. So I don't know what the range is for those. Sundays after Trinity change. Okay. Very good. So that's kind of leading you into the whole church here. You can pay attention to those colors. Kids love the colors. Who is it? I've had more than one who were really excited when purple came because they're big purple people. Where's Leah? Leah, what are you wearing today?
Purple.
You're ready for a... Hey, that's the right color purple too, isn't it? No, I'm not so good with purples. That's more red than it is blue, right? Who can tell? Who can tell? Elsie's purple is more blue, right?
Yeah.
And Leah's is more red? A little bit? Okay. This is where my color blindness comes in. I have a hard time telling the difference between the two. Good. All right. Any other questions about Advent and going into the city and how the Lord comes to visit you and redeem you? Is that good? Is that helpful? Got a little church here? All right. We'll continue that next week. Let's close with prayer.
Leah, we're going to pray.
All right, never mind. There's purple. Very good. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your many blessings, but most especially for visiting us and redeeming us. We pray that we would recognize you as you come to us in your word and in your sacrament, that we would receive you there in truth and purity and always be prepared to receive you again on the last day when you come to judge the living and the dead. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. All right, very good. Lord be with you. If your travels bring you to Northwest Indiana, I encourage you to visit the congregation at Grace in Dyer, Indiana. We're a member congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you'd like to learn more about us, visit our website at gracedyer.org, gracedyer.org. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, has blessed you through this instruction or preaching in His Word. The Lord's many blessings on your day.